is an encounter with God's word that guarantees a life of dominion. Join Pastor Stephen Enoko, lead pastor, Love Embassy Church, as he brings the message of the kingdom with all simplicity, authority, and power. God bless you as you listen.
Let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify our hearts in your fire. Breathe in the sweet breath.
Come on, go ahead and make declarations. Come on, go ahead. Come on, go ahead. I do not have the spirit of fear. I am not timid. I am not timid. I am not timid. I am not timid. I have the capacity of the Spirit to do what I should do, when I should do it, how I should do it, with the kind of results that the Spirit expects me to get. I give myself to a life of discipline. You must understand that discipline makes more number formidable. Discipline makes more numbers formidable. Makes more numbers formidable. Makes more numbers formidable. You must understand that it takes discipline to accomplish a feat that is worthwhile. It takes discipline to accomplish a feat that is worthwhile. It takes discipline to accomplish a feat that is worthwhile. It was Apostle Paul that said, I can do all things. I can do all things. There is a capacity of the Spirit that brings about enablement. It is not by emotion. I strip myself of emotionalism. You must understand that as many that will accomplish a worthwhile feat must be men that know that have given themselves to discipline. In the name of Jesus. Every great feat, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name we pray. You must understand that nothing guarantees enviable result like discipline. No matter your wish, it is discipline that converts wish to accomplishment. Discipline that converts wishes to accomplishment. It is not enough to celebrate get great results. You must understand that. It is never enough to celebrate accomplished feats. Whatever you see in anybody's life that you admire, listen to this, it is possible. But for those that can pay the price, but for those that can what? That can pay the price. The difference between the you that you are today and the you that you will become in 5 years' time are the things you learn to do, not out of emotion, but out of decisions. Are the things you what? You decided to do, you learned to do, you gave yourself to do, not because you feel like. Listen to this. It is never easy to be awake 4 hours in the night. No way. Praise God. Your legs will ache. Your eyes will become weak. During the day, you might even be dozing off. But hear this. Nobody will ever look at you and appreciate your input until they see your results. So it is discipline that converts wishes to accomplishment. So lift up your hands and say, I give myself to discipline. I do not live my life from emotions. There are some of you couldn't achieve so much this year because you lived your life by feelings. I don't feel like praying. I feel like praying. I don't feel like studying. I feel like studying. In the name of Jesus, I strip myself of every attitude of indiscipline. In the name of Jesus, I strip myself of every attitude of indiscipline. He said, discipline is the soul of an army. It makes small look great. It makes small look great. It makes small look great. You will see some people, you will think they are earning so much. No, it's because of discipline. Discipline is what makes little to become much. It is not a byproduct of what you don't have. It's a function of what you do with what you already have. Don't wish to have more time. Discipline yourself with the one you already have. Thank you, Adonai. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Can you walk up to seven persons and tell them, welcome to living life its fullest. Life, living life to its fullest. Living life to its fullest. I am so confident that for as many that will stay glued from today till Sunday, will receive a light and a direction in their life that will guarantee maximum altitude in 2021. Do I have a witness? Glory to God. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord as you take your seat. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I welcome every one of you to the first day of our life, living life to its fullest, interactive timeout. Praise God. Hallelujah. You must understand that there is a time we must set aside to answer certain questions in life. Questions that are of essence. Questions that are of values. Questions that are of importance. So I welcome you to this time. As we get set for a new season, hallelujah, you must understand that God himself does not work with our calendar, but he sets seasons. And one of the things that he has given to us is time. So by the timing we have received, we will be able to classify weeks into months and months into a year. And by the grace of God, a year is ending. We have about 14 days, isn't it? About 2 weeks' time this year will be gone. And somehow, for some of you, you may have looked back and wished you achieved much. But you see, yesterday is gone. Glory to God. You can take the residues, the remnants of yesterday, and convert them into possibilities for today and tomorrow. Glory to God. So that's the reason why we have set out this weekend for us to answer questions concerning life, concerning career, concerning finance, and concerning marriage. Glory to God. So I welcome every one of you. Once again, can you welcome your neighbor to your left and to your right? You are welcome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we want to begin this evening by looking at something that is very, very important. I consider it the foundation of man's existence. So for caption, allow me to call our discussion this evening, Maximizing Abundance, Part 1, in brackets, Finding Purpose for Living. Maximizing Abundance, Part 1, in brackets, Finding Purpose for Living. John chapter 10, verse 10 has been our anchor scriptures. And out of that scriptures, we've been trying to unravel the desire of God. So our anchor scripture is John 10, verse 10, and Jeremiah 29, verse 11. John 10, verse 10, the Bible says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Praise God. And then Amplified, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, from the Amplified Bible now. And the scripture told us, he said, For I know the thoughts and plans. Thoughts in this context talks about intention. My intentions, what I have in mind for you. He said, they are, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. So Jesus said, I came to give you life. So God speaking through Jeremiah, I said, I'm going to give you hope in your final outcome. Glory to God. So Father, we receive your word tonight. We are asking that you will breathe upon this discussion. Let everyone that will listen, let understanding be made available in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring clarity to every heart. Let everyone that will listen, both on site and online, receive understanding in immense proportion in the mighty name of Jesus. Let scales be removed and let veils be torn. Let our eyes be opened so that we might see purpose in the real sense. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name of prayer. Hallelujah. Life maximizing abundance, finding purpose for living. Since abundance is a gift we must receive, I've already established that there are three frameworks by which we can maximize abundance. Abundance in this context is talking about the kind of life we have received. Glory to God. Like he told us in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he said, I have a life, a plan. I am concerned about your welfare. God did not give us life so that we will struggle. God did not give us life so that we will struggle to survive. No. The believer is not in survivor mode. Glory to God. We are not hustlers. No, we are not hustlers. Don't put on your status, God bless my hustle. No, we are not. We are not hustlers. Praise God. We have been packaged by God with welfare provisions. Amen. God has a welfare plan for us. Hallelujah. And that welfare plan for us can be maximized by three essential frameworks. In other words, for you to be able to make the best of God's welfare plan, the good things he has for you, all of the good things you see in scriptures. If you are born again and you have read scriptures and you have seen a lot of good things, I want to hand to you three solid keys, frameworks in this context now, by which you maximize any good thing. Tell your neighbor, any good thing. Any good thing you see in scriptures. If you want to maximize it, if you want to benefit from it, framework number one is that you must find the purpose for which the abundant life is to be lived. Tell your neighbor, purpose. Number one framework for maximizing abundance. Number one framework for maximizing your welfare provisions is finding the purpose for which this life is to be lived. Number two, for you to maximize abundance, you must take responsibility that comes with the abundant living. Number one, find the purpose for which the life is to be lived. Number two, take responsibilities that comes with the abundant life. There is always a responsibility for man to take. Hello? Raise your head. There is always a responsibility. The Bible says in Genesis 2, the Bible says, God did not allow rain to fall. Why? Because there was no man to till the ground. So for every provision, for every abundance, there is a responsibility. He fed 5,000, yet he told them, gather the fragments. There is a ministry in NCCF in those days. We call it Gather the Fragment. Gather the Fragment ministry. There must be no waste. Glory to God. Tell anybody there must be no waste. God detests wastefulness. Tell anybody, God detests wastefulness. So there's a responsibility to take. And then number three way you maximize abundance is to define, sustain, and track your accomplishments to see if they are in line with the life that you have received. Define, sustain, and monitor your results to see if they are in line with the kind of life you have received. Define, sustain, and monitor your life. And what Paul said, examine yourself. Are you still getting the kind of output you are supposed to be getting? Talking about defining. That was what Paul was speaking. The writer of Hebrew was speaking in Hebrews chapter 5. He said, now you ought to be what? Teachers. He said, but you are still living as though you need someone to teach you. In other words, you have received too much to be at this level. Glory to God. So for you to maximize the abundant life, number one, define purpose. Understand purpose. Number two, you must be able to what? Take responsibility. Number three, define your accomplishments. Monitor it. Check. Is this the kind of life I'm supposed to be living? Is this what God wants me to accomplish? Praise God. Glory to God. So, based on this, when you have been able to erect this solid framework in your life, it means that for every recipient of this life to get all that comes with this life, the recipient must be purposeful. So I did a number, I talked so much on it in the last discussion on Sunday, so you could get the series, that tape, and listen to it. More directly now, for you to maximize abundant life, you must be conscious of, number one, why am I living? Why are you living? I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The life that he wants you to have, there is a reason. Tell anybody there is a reason. God is the most intentional deity that ever existed. He established heaven and earth on the platform of intentions. Praise God. So, I told you that abundant life is a consciousness. So, the consciousness of what? Ask your neighbor, why are you living? Are you just sucking in air just for the fun of it? Abundant life is a purposeful life. So, for you to maximize this life, for you to profit, get all the good that this life lives, that this life brings, you must be a man that understands, why am I living? Tell neighbor, why am I living? The Bible said they came to John the Baptist. They said, see, you have been telling us about a man. Okay, are you the Christ? Are you the one that is to come? John the Baptist said, no, I'm not the one. Glory to God. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way, make straight his path. In other words, John knew why he was living. Praise God. Glory to God. You must also understand that even Jesus, when he came, in that Matthew 13, I believe, Matthew 3. Is it Matthew 3 now? Yes, Matthew 3. So Jesus came. John was already speaking. He said, behold the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And then Jesus came, baptized me. John looked at him, he said, no, I have already told them that the one that is going to come after me is going to be too mighty for me to unlace his shoes. Guess what Jesus said? Jesus is a man of purpose too. Guess what he said? He said, let's just do this one to what? To fulfill our righteousness. There is always a reason. Tell anybody there's always a reason. It was Jesus that also said, In John 18, verse 37, speaking to Pilate, Pilate asked him a question, "Are you a king?" He asked him again, "Are you a king?" Jesus never responded. But after a while, Jesus looked at him. He said, "See, for this reason was I born. For this reason was I born." New King James, please. He said, "For this cause, for this cause was I born." For what? "For this cause I have come into the world." So, the number one question you must ask in your attempt to be conscious of the abundant life is to ask yourself, why am I living? Tell your neighbor, why am I living? Number two, what must I be doing? What must I be doing? Number three, what must I look out for as results? What must I look out for as results? Three things you must be conscious of. Number one, what am I living? Why am I living? Why am I living? Why? Number two, what must I be doing? Number three, what must I look out for as results? Basic. Why am I living? I now. Why am I living? It was Jesus that said, "For this reason, for this cause was I born." Every man that lived life to the fullest was a man that understood purpose. You can't live life to the full if you don't understand purpose. It is in the understanding of purpose that life is lived to its fullness. Praise God. And you and I know that the question of why is the question of purpose. The question of why is the question of purpose. I want to establish, simply put, purpose is the reason for a thing. By means of definition now, purpose is the reason for a thing. Number two, purpose is the end. Is the end to which a thing is aimed. So purpose is both an intent and an expectation. Purpose is both an intention and an expectation. Praise God. Let me give you what I mean. Look up, everybody. When you look at this chair, the purpose of this chair is to bring about relaxation and comfort. That's the purpose. Because the reason why you need to sit down is to be comfortable. Are you following me? Are you following me? So, the reason for manufacturing a chair is so that there can be comfort. Now, if there was no chair in this hall, you'll be standing. And if you're standing, you might not be too comfortable. So, someone had to make chair so that you'll be able to sit, so that you'll be comfortable. Praise God. So, that's the purpose of the chair. Now, that talks about the intention of the one that made the chair. Now, purpose now also talks about the end, which now talks about the expectation. So, it is expected that anybody that sits on this chair will be comfortable. Please, it's important you understand this. Because that's why it's a bit difficult for people to actually discover or find purpose. So the expectation on your part is that when I sit on this chair, I should be what? Should be comfortable. If I sit down, I'm comfortable. That's why some of you, I can be talking and you sleep off. Praise God. Because it's too comfortable for you, so you sleep off. It's just like we decide to change all this chair to sofa. Do you understand? So It means it will be too comfortable. So even in the design of share, we now have share that are designed for different purposes based on what? Expectation. For example, if I'm going to be putting a share in my room, it's not going to be like this. I'm going to look for the one that can serve as semi-bed. So you must understand that in defining purpose, number one, there is an intention. And that intention starts with the designer, the one that makes the chair. And then number two, there is what? An expectation. In between the intention and the expectation is the one that I'm going to be spending much time on, what I call work, function. Now, the one that designed the chair thought that it would not be good for people to come to service and they are standing. Let's get a chair. They made a chair. That's his intention. Then, there is a purpose. Now, no, let me not use purpose now. There is a work this chair will be doing. The chair will be carrying weight. Ethan will sit on it. And then, who's bigger than Ethan? Who is the biggest in this church? Mama will sit on it. And he will still be able to carry the two of them. So the chair is working. Praise God. Hallelujah. You must look at purpose from these three dimensions. It makes it easy for you to find it. Number one, you look at purpose from the intention of the manufacturer. Number two, you look at purpose from work. And then number three, you look at purpose from what? Expectation. For instance, now that I'm standing close to this fan, I'm not feeling heat. Now, why am I not feeling heat? This fan is working. So when you say this fan is working, do you know what you've just said? This fan is carrying out its what? Purpose. Do you get that? So when I said this fan is working, it means it's carrying out its purpose. So if I say his life is working, it means that he's carrying out the reason why he was created. So purpose talks about aim, intention. Two, purpose talks about work. And then three, purpose talks about expectations, accomplishments. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll come back to that very soon. As we make progress, please allow me to establish that in God's kingdom, purpose is a principle. Glory to God. Very important. In the kingdom of God, purpose is a principle. I was praying early this morning and it came so strong, and out of it, so much actually came out from within me. He said, purpose is a principle. He said, one of the reasons people struggle to find purpose is because they want you to just rush and tell them and say, see, you are a singer, so your purpose is singing. No. Purpose, as carved out by God, is a principle. So in other words, for you to find purpose, you need to sit down and understand the principles that surrounds it. And that's why it's a journey. Purpose discovery, finding purpose for living, is a journey. Tell neighbor, it's a journey. Write it down. It's a journey. As along the line, you will realize that as you make progress, it becomes clearer. It's like onions. So you are peeling it. You are seeing new part of it. So you are peeling it. So it's important, before I begin to help you to land or to arrive at the womb of my discussion, must establish that purpose is a principle. So it's not something you rush. No. As a matter of fact, for me to get into the kind of clarity I have about my life's mission, it took me more than 4 years journeying along the principle of purpose. So I'll make it very simple for you now. What is a principle? A principle simply means a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief. When you talk about principle, you're just talking about the foundation on which a system is established. So abundance in God's kingdom is a system. Increase is a system. Praise God. Now the reason is because you can't just suddenly come and say, this is the one thing that brought increase. That's why you can't just come out and say, this is the one way to discover purpose. Sincerely, that's why finding purpose is difficult. Please, calm down. Open your heart. Forget about some of the ideologies you may have heard about purpose. Just listen to me with an open heart. One thing about system is that you find it difficult to establish which part of the system is more important. Let me give you practical, easy to relate explanation. Look at this bulb. Ask me a question. Okay, let me ask you a question. Which is more important in this bulb? The lamp holder, the wire, or the bulb? I've put you in problem now. If you are smart, you will know that I've actually put you in problem. I mean, if you are intelligent. Now, let me get your answers. Let me know those that are smart. The wire. Okay, good. Remove the bulb, put the wire. Would there be light? David says the wire that is important. Remove the bulb. See, man of God, remove all the bulbs and leave the wire. And let's see if we're going to have light. Okay. And the next one, which is more important? The bulb. See, please get scissors. Cut all the wire. Leave the bulb. Okay. No, answer now. You see, no, see, that's why it's actually a bit difficult for people to find purpose. Because we don't really understand the system. So if I call an electrician now, like there was this lamp holder that was here. This lamp holder was not working. So we thought it was the bulb that was bad. So when the electrician came, he had to carry out what we call a trial proceeding. Now, do you know why he has to troubleshoot? It's because it's a what? It's a system. We only troubleshoot system. If you're a computer engineer, if you take your laptop to a repairer, he does what we call what? Troubleshooting. Now, why is it troubleshooting? It's troubleshooting because for the system to work, many components must be what? Functioning. So if a single component is not functioning, that laptop not going to run. I remember there was a laptop I went to fix. If I tell you the thing that was faulty in that laptop, that thing was so small. Like, so small, so tiny. Now that thing be the problem. Very, very tiny. They look for that thing, eh? They look for. It was after they got somewhere they were able to find it. And guess what? It was very what? Expensive. Why? Because it is a vital part of the what? Of the system. Are you understanding it? So that's the reason why I told you that arriving at the place of full clarity about God's purpose for your life, it's a process. It's a system. It's not just going to say, okay, what can you do best? I can sing. So your purpose is what? Singing. Okay, what are your experiences? Okay, all my life I realized that I'm always settling quarrel between married people. So your purpose is to settle quarrel. Go and leave it to the fullest. It's a system. Glory to God. So write it down. Purpose is a principle. Because it is a foundation on which all of what God wants to do rest on. Purpose is a divine principle because it is the foundation, because it is foundational to all that God is doing and must be applied to every aspect of life. The number one reason why purpose is foundational, or discovery of purpose is very, very foundational, it's because it relates to all that God is doing. Everybody say all that God is doing. And then number two, it must be applied to every aspect of your life. Now, for example, if you want to talk about how to choose a life partner, guess one of the things that I'll tell you. Discover your what? Your purpose. And that of your husband. Or your husband-to-be. Basic. It's foundational. If I'm going to teach you how to be influential financially in the kingdom, one of the first questions I will ask is, why do you want to be rich? Because there is a purpose for money in the what? In the kingdom. Are you following this? So purpose is foundational. Okay, you've received three applications or three job offers. You've received three job offers. And then you are struggling which you're going to take. For you to, if you come and meet me, one of the first questions I will ask, in fact, I'll ask you three questions. I'll ask you, number one, what's your life mission? Number two, what phase are you in your life mission? And then number three, does any of the job connect to the present phase in your life mission? Foundation laid on purpose. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, because everything in God's system, because the word, the kingdom of God embodies God's system. So, everything in God's system answers to the principle of what? Purpose. Purpose. He wanted to pray for Lazarus. Look up. Normally, he would have just gone and then, maybe the first day, heal Lazarus. But when he got there, the sister of Lazarus was like, hey, Master, if you had come, my brother would not have died, and all those things. And then he went, he saw they were crying, and he wept. And you and I know that he didn't weep because he was finding it difficult to raise him from the dead. He was moved by their tears. But look at what he now said. He said, Father, I give you thanks. Look at the prayer I prayed. He said, Father, I give you thanks because you've always heard me. He said, but because of the people that are here. So the reason why he delayed was because he wanted to glorify the Father in the presence of the what? Of the people. Most of the miracles Jesus performed, they accomplish an aspect of his divine purpose. One day he was walking, and then he met a man that was blind from birth. And then the disciple asked him, he said, what sin did this man what? Commit? Or the parents? And what did Jesus say? Neither the man nor the parents. He said, but for the Son of Man to be what? Glorified. Everything. I'll start showing you from Genesis. You realize till Revelation. Everything that God created has a what? Has a purpose. So tell your neighbor, purpose is foundational. So that's the reason why, for you to be able to discover the full meaning and scope of a purposeful life, your heart must be opened and must be willing to embark on the journey full scale. Everybody tell yourself, full scale is a journey. So let's start the journey. Number one, purpose determines design. Purpose determines design. It is important that you understand that everything in life is designed to accomplish an intent. So, purpose determines design. So, for you to be able to find your life's purpose or the reason God has made you in Christ, you must look at your design. That's why we are spirit. In fact, when we look at our design, Basically, there are three levels we look at our design. Number one, we look at our design for the fact that we are created in the image and likeness of God. How? First, in his image, spirit, likeness, nature, love. We are created to be a love-dispensing being. So that's the reason we are made the way we are made. Praise God. I'll still come back to that. So write that down, purpose, determine, design. So everything is designed to carry out purpose. The reason why this phone is so designed. Praise God. Come. Hold this mic. I want to make call. So imagine if this was to be a phone. Imagine if this was to be a phone and they tell you it's 2K, 2,000 naira. As in, it can make call to any network. Will you buy it? Now, why can't you buy it? Praise God. So, this is a phone. The way it is designed is because of the purpose it's going to be accomplishing. So, if you're going to find purpose, you need to understand how you are made. We are made in the image of God. So, it means that everyone created has a purpose in God to accomplish. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just imagine. Amen. So, purpose determines design. So, that's why one of the ways you can settle into your life's mission is to look at your design. Glory to God. And our fundamental design is that we are spirituals. So, in other words, write this down. There is no purpose outside of Jesus Christ. Every purpose is fulfilled in Christ. That's why he said, I came to give you the life that guarantees fulfillment. So please don't come and ask me if Michael Jackson fulfilled purpose. Or don't come and ask me if Bill Gates is fulfilling purpose. Number two, purpose defines function. Purpose defines function. Now, it means we can look at purpose from the perspective of the design, and we can also look at purpose from the work to be done. Everybody say functionality. So please, don't confuse work or function with the purpose. Don't confuse it. It's part of it. It's part of it. So in other words, you can find out the purpose for which you're going to be living, I mean your life mission, from the work or the function you are designed by God to perform. Glory to God. So purpose defines function. So let me just list them out. We're going to be coming back to them interwovenly. Number three, purpose determines challenges. Purpose determines challenges. The challenges you face in life are a reflection of the purpose you are to fulfill. Apostle Paul gave us the precedence in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you start reading from verse 9, he made us to understand that we have been called for a purpose. He now told us in verse 10 and 11 that as a result of that, he's going through what he's going through. Praise God. So please know this, that every purpose we are to fulfill is going to come with challenges. Number four, purpose defines expectations. I established that while I was talking earlier. And then lastly, purpose determines reward. If you read Romans chapter 14, the Bible says we shall all give account of ourselves. So one of the reasons why you can't afford to be purposeless is because you will give account. And for every account, there will be a corresponding reward. Is that okay? The Bible says he called them and gave them talents. And then when he returned, before he left, he said, occupy till I come. Walk till I come. Praise God. And then when he returned, he rewarded them. Glory to God. So in other words, for you to be able to find meaning to life, you must be able to pull all these strengths of knowledge together. I wrote something down. I said, finding purpose is not rocket science. It's not difficult. And at the same time, it's not sudden. It's a journey. So write it down. Make it capital letter. Purpose discovery of finding purpose to life. It's a journey. It requires that you pull a string of knowledge, understanding, and activities together. And then along that line, it becomes clearer day by day. In other words, as you live, if you set your heart to live a purposeful life, you'll find purpose. Praise God. If you set your life to live a purposeful life. So the starting point on finding purpose is to make up your mind to be purposeful. That's the starting point. So there are three major routes that purpose discovery follows. I'm coming into the womb of my discussions now. You know, I told you it's a system, so I can't bypass all of these. So for some of you, you might need to listen to the teaching over and over again, as actually that's how it works. It's not just something you just sit down and then I'll finish and then I'll tell you this is your life mission. No. But there are three parts that we must embrace. I've mentioned it before and I'm going to mention it again. Number one, the number one part to finding purpose is understanding why, reason. I've said it before. Number two, the second part to finding purpose is work and assignment. Understanding work and assignment. I will explain. Just follow me. And then number three. The number three part to finding purpose is checking results. Checking results. Establish that purpose is not what you rush. So the starting point of finding purpose for living. Raise your head. The fundamental principle that underlines finding a reason for living is to carry out a journey into the mind of the creator. Why? Nobody knows a product more than the manufacturer. So purpose begins with the creator. So for we to be able to live life to the fullest, we need to first of all settle in our conscience why God originated life. Praise God. So if you've been following me for a while, based from scriptures, we've been able to establish that the reason why God made man is basically three. Number one, God created man so that man will be the extension of himself to the earth realm. Genesis 1 verse 26. God created man so that man will be doing on earth who and what he is in heaven. Number two, God created man so that man will be the attention of his love. So number one, man is to extend God's rule from the realm of the spirit to the physical. Number two, man is to receive the love of God. That's why Bible says God is a spirit. So he made us spirit so that he can have fellowship. That's what fellowship means, partnership. It means sharing. It means intimacy. So the reason why you were created is because God wants you to receive his love. And then number three, God wants you to extend his love to mankind. That is the primary purpose for creating man. So number one, we are the extension of God's kingdom. Number two, we are the attention of God's love. And then number three, we are created to be the extension of God's love. Now that is the intent of the Creator. Do we understand? You know, I told you that for you to talk about the function of the purpose of a chair, you must go into the mind of the person that made the chair. Why did he make the chair? So we are created by God. The Bible says that we are not the one that created ourselves. We were created by God. And the Bible says in Revelation, He created us for His pleasure. He said, I know the thoughts that I have. So that thought is His intent. Are you understanding it? So purpose starts with who? The Creator. So purpose starts with the Creator, is discovered by the Creator, and accomplished by the Creator in partnership, by the Creature in partnership with the Creator. Did you get that? For example, there are some equipment that when they get faulty, you can't fix them. You send them back to the manufacturer. There's something called manufacturer's defect. I remember when we just got fridge then, the fridge was still within the year of warranty and the compressor got bad. So we called an engineer. He said, he told us the price, very expensive. And then he just asked, he said, this fridge looks new. How long have you been there? I said, less than 1 year. He said, you still have 3 years warranty on this fridge. I said, what? He said, go and bring the receipt. Fortunately, I kept it. So he told me, he said, see, take this fridge back to Thermocool. And I checked the entire offer. They didn't have any office here then. So I had to take it to a lorry. He told me to come back after 2 weeks. So I sent someone there. The person brought the fridge, brand new compressor. Now, that's because they were the one that what? They made it. So included in their customer service is that they understood that compressor should be able to work without having fault for at least 3 years. So they tell me if within that 3 years it has any fault. Now why? Because nobody knows the product more than the manufacturer. So the starting point of finding purpose is to be born again. Because nobody knows the product. So it is in coming into a relationship with God, He begins to navigate the journey for you. Praise God. Do we understand? Do we understand? He said, that which is born of flesh is what? It's flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So that's the intent. Why did He made us to be spirit, soul, and body? It's still in line with His what? With His intention. That's why I told you that purpose is a principle, because it is the foundation on which everything on life revolves. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So the number one part you must engage, or the number one route you must come in if you want to find purpose, tell neighbor, be born again. I've always said it and I'll keep saying it. To live, you need to be born. But to be fulfilled, you must be born again. Basic. There is no fulfillment outside of the life of the Creator. So purpose is discovered. Purpose is not assumed. You discover purpose. Tell your neighbor, you discover it. So basic, the purpose we are to fulfill, number one, we are to extend God's kingdom to the earth realm. That's why I said the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. What it means is this: the whole earth will be filled with people that know God. Praise God. So that's the meaning of that verse of scriptures. Praise God. So the earth is out of joint as long as people are not knowing God. Because the reason God created earth is to bring Himself to know, to the known. To the known. Praise God. Do we get that? The reason God created earth is to bring Himself to the what? To the know. So what Habakkuk 2:14 was saying when he said the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, what it simply means is that if she knows God, and people that knows God fill the earth, that's the glory of God filling the earth. Praise God. So man was created by God to be the extension and the embodiment of His person. Now that's why the Bible says your body is not for sexual immorality. What did He say? He said your body is the temple. That's the reason. That's where purpose starts. Hello? Forget about basketball. Forget about football. Forget about singing. Forget about jumping around. Forget about those things. For now, those things are channels. Those things are not the purpose. Are you here? Understand it. That's where life begins. You were created to be a conduit for God to fill the earth. And then, more practically now, who is God? God is love. So that's how number two came. You were created to be an attention of the love of God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed that we should be called. So the reason why God is loving you this much is so that people will see that he is a loving God. Do you understand that? And then number three, you are now going to take that love you have enjoyed from God and you're going to be distributing it to the people around you. That's the design of the Creator for your life. So it is along these three we now move to the next. Number two, the second part along which you find your life's mission or the purpose for living is in your work and assignment. Having clearly known why he's doing what he's doing and why you are a partner in it, you must now identify which aspect of his intentions he has called you or marked you for to work in. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. We are his workmanship. In other words, what can you do with what you have? Such that, number one, God's kingdom can be extended to the earth. Number two, you can have God's love, can be his attention. And then number three, your world can experience the love of God. What can you do? Do you get that? What can I do to bring the kingdom of God to the earth? What can I do? Everybody say walk. So I told you, you define purpose, number one, from the intention of the Creator. And then number two, you define purpose from the activity of the Creator. You define purpose from the intention of the what? Of the Creator. You define the function of this keyboard by reading the manual, why this man designed keyboard. But for the keyboard to now benefit you, you now need to work it out. Do you get that? So fulfillment is in your work. Write it down. Fulfillment is in your work. Ephesians 2:10. We are, give it to us in Amplified, his workmanship. Did you see that? We are his handiwork, recreated in Christ, that we may do those good works. So we are God's workmen. So purpose is intent. Number two, purpose is work. Purpose is work. Now that's the reason why we make that statement. And we make statements like, for example, as a pastor, you say clearly that I'm working for God. Now do you know why you make that statement that I'm working for God? Because I found my place in his intention and I am taking responsibility of it. Praise God. Do you understand? So, God says, I want to make myself known in the earth. I want to make myself known in the earth. I want to dispense my love to the earth. And I'm coming and say, Lord, how can I help to carry it out? His intention is to make himself known. So I come into work to make himself known. So I am living out his purpose. That's why when you drive and come back, I'll say, well done. You have worked. The car couldn't have driven himself or couldn't have driven himself. So you have driven the car. You have helped it to carry out his what? His purpose. So please listen. If you want to find purpose, find God's intention, then to attend to it. As you attend to it, you are fulfilling purpose. Simple. Basic. Do you understand? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to carry this bag. I want to carry this bag. I want to get stuff inside this bag and use this bag to carry the laptop to where they are. Praise God. And he now comes. Come now. Come. You know, sir, can I help you to carry this bag? Now, he carrying the bag has helped me to what? Fulfill the reason I needed this bag in the first place. Isn't it? So he carried the bag with me and took it there. What we are trying to say in effect is this. Look up, everybody. The intentions of God, man is central to it. Life on earth is central to it. So the reason he gave man life is for man to carry out the work he has in his mind. So when you find that God's work and commit yourself to doing it, you are living a life of purpose. Praise God. But there is one more thing. And that's the third part. The third part is, you are not just doing the work for doing sake. You are doing it with the mindset of the result he wants to come out from the work. Hello? This is the system. This is why purpose is a principle. He said, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom. But they that do the will. Please write this down. When you talk about the purpose, there are many words the scripture use. Number one, Bible use will. The will of God. Bible use counsel. Bible use plans. And Bible use course. Bible use what? Will. Bible use counsel. Bible use plan. Bible use course. Paul said, I have finished my course. Go so that you can take in your notes. We'll come back to this. Do you get that? So all of those words, when you read words like will, the will of God, what is the will of God? You are still talking about what is the intention of God. Will is just intention. I want to carry this back to that place. It's his intention. He now steps in to carry the back. He has work. Now he do the work. Now me get the intention. Now he do the work. So the relationship between God and us in purpose, he is the one that has the will. We are the one that carry out the will. The process of carrying out the will is what we call work. And the word we use is called life's mission. So write it down. My life's mission is the portion of God's will that I've taken responsibility of. That's your life's mission. Are we understanding it now? Now let me explain. I've already established that God is the one that wants to do something. So he now gave you life so that you would do it in partnership with him. When you now take delivery of the aspect of his will at a particular time, that aspect of God's will that you have taken responsibility of becomes your life's mission. Now, it means that I have made up my mind. I have collapsed my existence to do what he wants. So it means that I am a man on a mission for him. So it means my entire life now, I'm living it to do his will. That confers on me a missionary status. So every believer in Christ is called of God to accomplish an aspect. Write it in bold. Aspects in bold. Because God's field is big. So, where we are having challenge now is not knowing that God wants me to express his love. No, we already know. But because God's field is big, the world is big, his field is big, the people he wants to show his love, they are many. He now puts abilities in us. He now puts callings on us. He now puts gifts, graces on us. He now allows us to go through experiences so that our path of life, our path, P-A-T-H, of life, will be relevant to some set of people. Do you understand? So that our path of life will be relevant to some set of people. So that those set of people will be filled with the knowledge of his love. Are you following me now? So that's why we have gifts. That's why we have abilities. So the question you should be asking is not, how do I discover my purpose? No. The question you should be asking is, how do I find my life's mission? In other words, how do I find the field I'm to walk in? The aspect of his intent I am to focus on. Because like a master, he has so many servants. And that was the picture that was painted in my heart this morning. He said, every servant in a king's palace performs different functions. Hello? Yeah, there is a servant that gives the king water. So he's trained to handle glasses and gives the king water. There is a servant that is to man the gate. If there is a security breach, Ismail will be called. I don't know why those security men are always having those names. If there is problem with the food, F. Young, they're always from Calabar. Ekaite, seriously, that was the name. God bless you. That was the name I was trying to remember. They always answer Ekaite. Ekaite, what happened to my food? Praise God. If there is a challenge with the chains of business, there's someone they call Woodward. They're always from London. And London people, their name is always either canoe or boots, or their name always have one object, one kind of wood inside. Praise God. Do you understand? So picture the kingdom of God as a kingdom that has many aspects. And that kingdom is to be established on an earth that has many aspects too, many systems. So get it straight. We all do not belong to the same set of people. We all cannot reach the same set of people. Now please understand this. The work we are to do is to ensure his love reaches the inhabitants of the earth. That's what we call the gospel. So I'm not going to have established that path. I've done a series on that one. So don't come and ask me what are the will of God. If at this time you don't know the will of God, I don't know why you are still born again. He wants all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants the men that are saved, they should not be lost. He wants those that are saved to be granted in his love, to mature, so that they will go and get others saved and repeat 1 to 4. That is the will of the Father. So your life mission now is embracing this will, but now looking for where the gifts, the abilities, the talents that God has given to you now fits in, so that you can be there and be doing one thing there, reaching a set of people there. Glory to God. So how do I find my mission? Number one,
Number one,
your life's mission can be a specific calling. Life's mission can be a specific calling. Now raise your hand. What I mean is this. There is a general calling to salvation. Go make disciples. Now that confers on us a disciple making status. That is the general calling. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19 and 20. He said, having saved us, he has given to us the what? Ministry of reconciliation. So that is the intention. That's what he wants to do. So we are now saying, how do I find my walk? How do I know that for the days of my life to Jesus return, this is what I should be doing? Number one, it's a calling. A calling simply means a beckoning to carry out a task. Now please listen to this. Apart from the general assignment we all have, get so saved, there are callings to, number one, to preach a specific message, to reach a specific people, and to carry out a specific task. Number one, Apostle Paul said in all of his writing, if you read Romans 1, Ephesians 1, all of the ones, I, Apostle Paul, called as an apostle to the Gentiles. That's a what? A specific calling. Now listen, if you've gotten a specific calling, please stop looking for the gift and talent that you have. Respond to the calling first. Do you understand? If I said, Rachel, I am calling you to do a particular thing. Now that's the calling. I called you and I give you the what? The task. You can't modify it. All you need to say is what? Yes, sir. We respond to calling. Apostle Paul was called to the Gentiles. Who was Peter called to? Peter was called to the Jews. Did you see that? So there is the specific calling. And Paul now went on to say, there are calling to apostleship. Some are called apostles. Some are called pastors. Some are called. Now, if it is a calling, it's a mandate. The caller gives you all the details. So meaning that if your life's mission is a calling, if you know that there is a calling of God upon your life, please go on a retreat and let him give you the detail of the calling. No need to ask what is life. You don't need to come and meet me to help you discover your life mission. Your life mission has been discovered already. It's a call. Say it is a call. No human being can modify it. As a matter of fact, the only thing a human being can do is to help you train. To train you. Can't change it. Praise God. That's why the Bible says the gift and callings of God, they are without repent, is a calling. All you need to do is to align to it. If God tells you, leave your father's house and go to so-so place, and I'm going to be using you to rescue the men there, please don't go and do tie and die so that you don't die there. No. It's a calling. We separate ourselves to a calling. All of the details, don't subject to all the details to the scrutiny of any human being. The caller has all the details. And sir, he has called me to go and be a pastor. Should I resign my job or should I still be working and be doing pastoring? The caller has all the details. That's why I told you that purpose discovery is not rocket science. It's a process. It's a principle. So the way God will make him find his life mission may not be the same way he will find his life mission. Listen to this, church. Some people found their life mission when they went on a 21-day retreat. But let me tell you this. Some other people found their life mission after struggling for 4 years with many experiences. Are you following? So the idea of purpose is not hit and run. Let me just go now. Lord, show me all that you want me to do. He might just show you a fragment. Everybody say an aspect. And he will test your faithfulness in that aspect. So as you show faithfulness in it, he brings the other aspect. Because if he commit the entirety of your life mission to your hands, the weight of it can even crush your life. So that's why purpose discovery is a sequence. Now I tell you, the starting point of that sequence, spend your life understanding God's intention. Just spend your life there, clarifying his intention. As you are understanding his intention, one day he will now give you a vision. He will now show you the aspect of his intentions that he wants you to what? Narrow your life on. That's a calling. Glory to God. Number two, you can find life mission by identifying the gifts, in bracket, graces that you have. Purpose can be discovered by identifying graces. It's also basic. You can look at your life. What are the graces? Graces, gifts. Gifts. Special ability to do certain things well. Praise God. Hallelujah. Special ability from God to do certain things what? Well. Don't forget I told you we are to walk his walk. So the aspect of his work that he wants you to walk, he will now give you a grace that will enable you to walk in that aspect. Romans 12, verse 4. You see them there. The reason why some of you are in help, welfare, is because you have a grace for charity. Not be everybody get them. Praise God. No, not be everybody get them. There is the general grace that makes us believers. There is the general responsibility we work out, the fruit of the Spirit. But the Bible now tells us that there is a what? A special gift of what? Of giving. So now you now see people that are living their life giving. And then because you like the way they are living their life, giving, you just come. My life mission is to be a philanthropist. May you not end up being the one begging to be philanthropized. That's the, you know, listen to this. Purpose discovery or life mission discovery is not copy and paste. No. I like zeal, but zeal will never translate to calling. Listen, zeal will never translate to graces. God can look at your zeal and give you grace. Praise God. But your zeal can never be replaced as what? As grace. Because there is a special ability from God to do things well. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 5. Amplified. 6. Romans 12, 6. Did you see that? Having gifts, faculties, talents, and quality that differ according to the grace given, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You read down. Gift is practical service. Are you following me now? So finding your life mission, number one, is finding your calling. Finding your life mission, number two, is identifying the graces. What unique grace have you found? Now, please listen to this. If it is a calling, sister, brother, stop there. It's a calling. Don't go and find any other thing. That's the difference. Listen, in finding life's mission, there are only two set of people that will find life mission. Two basic way to find life mission. Number one, it's either a specific calling or the other part is a discovered grace or a discovered talent or a discovered skill or a discovered experience. That's the remaining four. Let me not waste time. Number one is a call. So we have two set of people or two set of ways to find a life worth mission. Your life mission may be a calling. Question, the life mission of Jesus, was it a calling or a talent? It was a calling. It was called specifically to come and die for the sins of the world. And along the calling, now came all the abilities. Do you understand? So if you don't have a specific calling, it means that your life mission is help. It's a help. is a support system in the agenda of God. What do I mean? Some are called. Is it that the others are not called? They are called, but their calling is not what? It's not specific. And that is what we call an assignment. An assignment. So every believer discovers life mission, number one, as a calling. Number two, as graces, giftings, talent, skills. And don't forget that God imparts special ability to wrought certain skills, like in Exodus 31 verse 1, the life of Bezalel, and even Joseph. God gave Joseph a special gift of interpreting dreams. God gave David a special gift and skill of fighting battles. Praise God. That was the mission. So, what was the life mission of David? The life mission of David was to help advance the kingdom of God by defeating the what? The enemies. To preserve a set of people. So your life mission is either a calling or is discovered by a blend of the other four. Number one, gift. Number two, abilities. Number three, talent. Number four, skills. And number five, experiences. So all those are secondary ways to find our life mission. You must understand that what all of these will do to you is what I call channel. Identifying your channel for personal ministry. Praise God. So when you give yourself, for example, let me make it more practical now. When you look at the local church, we have people who are into different ministries. For example, we have a set of people that are evangelistic. Week in and week out, they go out, preach the gospel, get people saved, get them followed, get them established in the local church. Now, there are another set of people that focus on discipling young believers. Young believers. Now, there are another set of people, they are focused on bringing the knowledge of God's love to the orphans. Why? The Bible says, go make disciples of all nations. Now, the word nations means people group. Everybody say people group. So, it means that every skill, every ability, every talent is attractive to a particular set of people. To a particular what? Set of people. For example, if you go to the orphans now, there are people that have been living their life ministering to orphans. Praise God. They have adjusted their way of life to the way of the orphans. So they have a unique way. They present the love of God to these orphans. And many of them get what? Get saved. Because they are a people group. Are you understanding it now? Now, there are a set of people that are on campus. They are students. Now, there is a set of people who live their life. I remember in those days, groups like SU, SCM, there were groups then that had a specific message for us that were in secondary school and universities, and they harvested souls. One of the reasons it appears that today, in quotes, the local church seems not to be accomplishing its purpose is because we are trying to be generalized. Our call is general, but our assignments are specific. It is called a life mission. There is a group of people that God has engraced you with everything they need to minister to. To bring, number one, the kingdom of God to them. To bring, number two, the knowledge of the love of God to them. And to bring, number three, the affection of the love of God that will bring about salvation in their life. We have a place of ministry. So, for you to maximize harvest, for you to maximize abundance, look for your place and stay there. I'll close with this. Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. He said, look not upon me because I am fair. I am dark. Don't look upon me because I am dark. He said, my cousins, they have given me their vineyard to keep. He said, my own vineyard, I have not kept. My own vineyard, I have not what? I have not kept. Give it to us in King James, New King James. He said, I am dark, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Verse 6. He said, do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has stained me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of their vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Everyone that is saved by God has a vineyard to keep. Finding that vineyard and committing yourself to keeping it is what we refer to as discovering your life mission. That vineyard, there is a message, the message of the love of God. That vineyard, there is a set of people, the unsaved, the saved, and the ones that needs to be matured. That vineyard has a particular problem. Don't forget, I told you, purpose determined design, determined challenges. You've been going through certain challenges in your life. It's only after a period of time, you will not come back and realize, so this was why I was going through this, because it was preparing me for that. Your life's mission is already in your calling at the day you become born again. It is only going to take your progress in spiritual growth to come into the fullness of it. Glory to God. Glory to God. So take a few questions and then we are out of here. Just take